You can take your Bibles this morning and let's go to Romans chapter 6. We are right in the heart of the doctrinal section of the book, this great book of Romans. In our last session, we saw the rather stark contrast, the rather incredible effect of the two most influential men in all of human history. That, of course, being the first Adam, and all the consequence that came from his disobedience to God. And then the second Adam, Jesus Christ, and all the blessings that have come to us through his perfect obedience to God. In chapter 5, there's a couple phrases we want to note and review. That it says in verse 17, they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And then in verse 21, it says, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is speaking of believers reigning in life by Jesus Christ. It's by the gift of righteousness, the gift of Holy Spirit, and it's by grace reigning. Now, a very logical question that comes up is, well, how do you reign in life? How does the believer have grace reign? How do you reign in life by Jesus Christ? How does the gift of righteousness enable you to have this wonderful reign, this dominion, this wonderful life, the abundance of grace that Jesus Christ has made available? So what God does in chapters 6 and 7 is he inserts a rather wonderful, detailed explanation of how you can reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Chapters 6 and 7 should be noted. You can perhaps put this as punctuation in your Bible. Some other translations besides the King James do put this as punctuation. Is that it's a large parenthesis. You can put a big parenthesis mark at the beginning of chapter 6, and then another big parenthesis mark at the end of chapter 7. So this parenthesis that we'll be reading these next couple of days tells us how we can reign in life by Jesus Christ. And it starts in verse 1 of chapter 6 by saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It should be rather apparent to all of us that that's not how grace is going to abound in our life. That's not how we're going to reign in life, is by continuing in sin. But this is significant in that we've already read this once in the book of Romans. Look back at Romans chapter 3 for a second. In Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 7, for if the truth of God had more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Verse 8, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. This is what some people were saying slanderously against the ministry of Paul. Is that he was teaching, oh yeah, just go out and sin, and that's how this grace is going to abound. And that's how you're going to reign in life. So, again, right at the beginning of this instruction, it tells us what it is not. It's certainly not continuing in the sin nature that we got from Adam that's going to allow grace to reign or grace to abound in our lives. And verse 2 really puts a stop to that slanderous report. It says, God forbid. Another translation of this is, don't even say that. May it not be spoken. We don't talk like that around here. You know, maybe in your family, when you're in your upbringing, there were certain words or phrases that you couldn't say, and it just, if you ever said it, it would just, oh, don't say that. Well, in our family, the family of God, this is not even to be spoken of, that somehow us continuing in sin is going to allow God's grace to abound. It says in, again in verse 2, God forbid, let it not be spoken. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, what we're going to get into here is our identification with Christ. According to the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, He paid the price for our sin nature and for all of the acts that come from that sin nature, which are called sins. So the slate has been wiped clean by the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. So according to that, we are dead to sin. Jesus Christ paid the price for that, as we'll read. We are completely identified with Christ, with what He's accomplished. I've mentioned before that there's two great topics here in the doctrinal section of Romans that you pay attention to. One is His substitution for us, F-O-R, and now our identification with Him, W-I-T-H. So it says, know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? You know, so oftentimes a beginning Bible student or, you know, the denominational Christian will make the mistake of reading the word baptized and immediately thinking of what? Water. Well, this section should put an end to that immediate association, because it doesn't say we're baptized in water. It says we are baptized into who? Jesus Christ. And that we were baptized into His death. You know, there's many different references throughout the Bible to different kinds of baptisms. One is the baptism into Jesus Christ's death. Look at, keep your finger here. Look at Luke chapter 12 for a section, for a second. It's Luke 12. This verse just came to mind. Yes, look at this. It says in verse 50 of Luke 12, it says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened? How am I held in till it be accomplished? Is this verse talking about water? Heck no. Jesus Christ had been water baptized by His cousin John the Baptist many months before this verse was spoken. And this is talking about Jesus Christ's death, His upcoming passion, His upcoming trials, tribulations, resulting in His crucifixion and death. And Jesus Christ knew that He had that baptism to be baptized with. And He was held in by God's word, by God's instructions, until it be accomplished. That was what His focus was. So here again, it refers to us being baptized into His death. That's what His baptism was. And that's what our baptism is. It's, we are baptized into His death. Now, what's the association with baptism? Well, let's keep reading. It says, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. There are three different terms here that are very closely associated. The first one is baptized. The second one is buried, and the third one is planted. And all three of these imply a total immersion. Because if you're baptized, you're totally immersed. You're, you know, say if it was a water-style baptism, it would be totally immersed in water. With Jesus Christ's baptism unto His death, He was totally immersed in that debt. He died. He was immersed in the earth. He was also buried, right? If you're buried, you're immersed in the earth. And if you're planted, you know, how do you plant a seed? You put it, immerse it in the ground, in the earth. So they all refer to a total immersion. This is a total identification that the old nature, the sin nature that we receive from Adam, has been buried. It has been planted. It has been baptized unto his death, so that now it legally to us is dead. Now don't get tricked to think that because your sin nature is dead, that you don't have a sin nature anymore. Sometimes people get tricked by that. If that was the case, if we didn't have a sin nature anymore, then why would God tell us that we have to reckon it dead? Why would God tell us that we have to put it off? See, it is still with us, but legally, spiritually, when Jesus Christ was crucified, when he died on our behalf as a substitute for us, that sin nature was buried. That sin nature died. It was handled from a spiritual point of view. Now, what our challenge is, and this is where we're heading here in Romans chapter 6, is our challenge is that we have to get our mind, we have to get our actions, we have to get our hearts aligned with that great spiritual reality. But again, verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Our identification with Christ is total. When he was crucified, we were crucified with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he was raised from the dead, well, in that resurrection, we've been given newness of life. Now we need to know what has been accomplished, and we need to walk in light of that. And in verse 6 it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is," or our old man was, "crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." What is misleading in verse 6, and this gets back to what I mentioned a couple minutes ago, is that it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. The word destroyed would indicate that it's gone. But this word destroyed is inaccurately translated. It's really the word paralyzed, or the word to become inactive. It's used in another key verse in Hebrews chapter 2. Keep your finger in Romans. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. See, if you read it as the body of sin has been destroyed, then it's no longer here. But that ain't true. It is. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 2 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," Jesus Christ also himself, "likewise took part of the same, that through death," this is what we're reading about in Romans 6, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." This is that same word, to be paralyzed or to become inactive. Let me ask you a question. Has the devil been destroyed yet? No, of course not. But whenever the born-again one walks according to the Spirit of God, when a born-again one walks as a son of God, realizing what Christ has accomplished, well, the devil is made inactive. The devil is paralyzed. He can't act. His power is overcome by the greater power that is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this word destroy here in Hebrews 2:14 is the same one we just read in Romans 6. Back to Romans 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be paralyzed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Isn't that wonderful that the sin nature that we got from Adam can be rendered inactive as we walk in newness of life? You know, Christianity is not about, you know, cleaning up your flesh, you know, of developing better habits or better, you know, so that you're, you know, that you've resisted temptation and then you, you know, you just don't sin anymore. You know, like, it's not about keeping a bunch of rules and regulations either. What Christianity is about is the new nature that you have in Christ. It's about walking by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ wasn't sent to clean up, you know, the human race, you know, by getting us, giving us a better moral code or any of that stuff that people have been tricked by. Jesus Christ came to make a new nature available. He came to make the new birth available so that we now have a whole new way of living, a whole new way of walking. And as you walk by the Spirit, that old nature is rendered inactive. It's paralyzed. And then it says, again, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We shouldn't serve that old nature. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, isn't it wonderful that our old nature legally is declared to be dead? And as a result, we've been freed from the death sentence that's associated with sin. So he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You know, it's not just that Jesus Christ died for our sins, but now he lives for us, and we live with him. Knowing this, verse 9, that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Jesus Christ paid the price by dying once, and he's been raised from the dead for eternity. So Christ being raised from the dead, he's not going to die anymore, and death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin, how many times? Once. But then he liveth, he liveth unto God, and that's perpetual. That's for eternity. See, his death, his paying the price, was a one-time action a little over 2,000 years ago, or about 2,000 years ago. But his resurrection will last for eternity. It's a new life form. Jesus Christ was given a new life form, and then in the new birth, we are identified with him, gaining a new life form. So it says in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 6 is the first instruction. It's actually the first commandment given in the church epistles. All that we've read thus far, there hasn't been specific instruction, there hasn't been a specific commandment given to the church yet, but here it is. Likewise, in a like manner to Christ having died once and now living eternally unto God, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reckon is associated with the word logic. It's logizomai. It's like, you know, you logically think it through. You know, one of the things that, if you're ever going to reckon your sin nature dead, you have to realize what it is. You know, sin nature has, we've seen a rather vivid description of a lot of the, you know, putrid fruit that comes from the sin nature here in Romans. But it's your old man. It's your old way of doing things. It's associated with the way that you were raised, perhaps, if you were raised outside of the Word of God. It's just the old nature that we got from Adam. Think of it, it's the way you were before you got in the Word. Now, I know some of you people have been raised in the Word because you were born into believing families, but the sin nature is something that we has been vividly described here in Romans. It is carnal, it's lustful, it's selfish, it's all the, you know, bad stuff that we got from Adam. So those things, as they might crop up in your life, you should just reckon it dead. That's crucified, it's over with. So that sin nature is paralyzed. And then it says, reckon yourself alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, walking by the new nature, the spirit that you have, the life that is in Christ. Walking in light of God's word, God's instructions. Who you are in Christ as a son of God and what you have. Those are the thoughts that we have to logically reckon in our minds. We have to put into our minds. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts or the cravings thereof. You know, sin nature, there's certain cravings. It might, you know, be cravings to overeat or sexual cravings or a lot of things that just are contrary to the nature that we've gotten from God, the spirit nature. So don't let the old reign in your life. You can see how this is a detailed, expansive instruction about how to reign in life by one Christ Jesus that we read in Romans 5:17. Verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your members, it would be your abilities, your energy, your thoughts, your actions. Use it to the glory of God. Now, this is a free will decision. Just because you're born again of God's Spirit doesn't mean that your life in practical application has necessarily changed, because it certainly is very available for the born again one to just continue to walk by the old nature. Oftentimes, people's practice of religion just ensures that they will continue to walk by the old nature, because they're always thinking according to the flesh. They're not thinking according to what God has done through Christ and who they are and what they have in the new birth. But we are to yield ourselves unto God. That's a free will action. That you will present yourself to God to walk according to the Spirit of God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under what? Grace. The standard of this period of time in which we live is grace. It's called the administration of the grace of God, as we saw in our opening session of the church epistles. So we're not under law, and as a result of that, sin should not have dominion over us. We are under grace, and grace in its, you know, in the big picture, is what God has bestowed upon us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we're to walk. Not according to a bunch of legalistic stuff, and certainly not according to the old nature, but grace. What then, verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And then here comes those two words again, God forbid. Don't even let it be spoken. You know, we don't talk like that around here. You know, it's kind of funny. This just came up recently with a new person in our fellowship, and they were learning that you get saved by God's grace. And almost immediately the response was, well, does that mean that I can just go out and do whatever I want? And you know what the answer to that is? Yes! You know, your salvation is not at all dependent upon your works. But does it make any sense at all for the born-again one to continue to walk by the old man? No, it's just would be to our detriment. So why would someone want to even think, well, I'm going to go out and sin like a trooper because it's grace? That's just, God forbid, don't let that even come to mind. Don't even talk that way. We want to walk by that wonderful life that Jesus Christ has made available to us, that life of God that we have, the new man, the new nature, that has come through his accomplishments. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Doesn't it speak in the Gospels that no man could serve two masters? This verse seems to indicate you do have to serve somebody. And really, the service that you have in your life is going to be either of sin unto death, and that's, you know, not good. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, you know, that someone dies a thousand deaths? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they died physically, but it's just everything that they do is unfruitful. In fact, the fruit that is produced is putrid, it's, you know, rotten. See, that's what, if you serve sin, that's what happens. It's unto a thousand deaths. Or, how about the better choice, obedience unto righteousness. You know, obeying God's word, walking according to the Spirit of God. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin. You know, all of us. We did serve the old nature. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, or that type of teaching, which was delivered you. You know, we obey from the heart the teaching that was delivered unto us. And specifically, what we obey from the heart is the church epistles. That's what's been delivered unto us. It's what's written unto us. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, how was it that we were freed from sin? By Jesus Christ's crucifixion. By Jesus Christ's death, by his burial, by his paying the price for our sins. So we've been set free from the bondage of sin, from the penalties of sin. So that now we've become the servants of righteousness. We can serve obediently. We can serve God by obeying the type of teaching that was delivered unto us, by walking by the Spirit of God. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. What's being described here in wonderful detail are two ways to walk. You can continue to walk by the old way, but God's encouragement is for us to walk in newness of life. To walk, as it says here, by yielding your members, your talents, your abilities, servants to righteousness unto holiness. You know, one side, the sin side, if we continue therein, just produces death. It produces rotten fruit. But if we can walk by the Spirit of God, it will be righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. it's kind of obvious. When you were servants of sin, you didn't have any righteousness, is what it says. You know, that's not good. You know, it says you are free from righteousness. That's really bondage. It's not freedom. You're free from righteousness because you didn't have any. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. You know, boy, continuing to walk by the sin nature, it makes no sense. You know, we are under grace. We've been given righteousness. We've been given the Spirit of God to walk by. You know, with all the great characteristics of Christ born within. So we walk not according to the old nature. That's stuff to be ashamed of. And the end of that, the fruit that's produced, is death. It's putrid. But now, being made free from sin, because Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Boy, by Adam came death, and sin by death. By Jesus Christ came life. What kind of life? Everlasting life. Eternal life. He's been raised from the dead. Death hath no more dominion over him. And he lives eternally for God. The same can be said of us because we are completely identified with him. Now we can walk by that Spirit of God and produce fruit of that Spirit. Because it says, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And then verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. I would say that that job doesn't pay too well. That the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The old nature produces death. The new nature is life. What kind of life? Everlasting life. Eternal life. Spiritual life that we have forever that gives us dominion so that we can reign in life by one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Tomorrow we'll continue this tremendous exposition of how we can see grace abound in our life and how we can reign in life by Jesus Christ our Lord.